Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented, extroverts, gorgeous individuals who are going to show their verbal dexterity, their humorous ingenuity and their sense of fun as they try and talk on the subject that I give them. And they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Neil Malarkey, and seated on my left, Sue Perkins and Tony Hawkes. Will you please welcome all four of them? Seated beside me is Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from that beautiful Theatre Royal in that charming town of Brighton on the Sussex coast. And we have a lovely Sussex audience. As we begin the show with Tony Hawkes. Tony, what an apt subject to begin the show with. Seaside postcards. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
As I walked along the seafront before this show and was very nearly blown into the water, I took a look at some of the gift shops along the way and viewed the postcards there, little bits of wood sticking out of the sea. This was the West Pier. I enjoyed that very much. Disappointed, though, I was to find there was not any real sauciness as we used to get in the old-fashioned seaside postcards of many years ago. Girls perhaps leaning over telescopes looking out to sea with a naughty...
Sue, challenged.
A repetition of sea. Mm.
Yes.
Yes, and you walked beside the sea at the beginning.
Yes.
And so you repeated sea.
I did.
That is a correct challenge, Sue. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. 28 seconds available. Seaside postcards, and you start now.
Seaside postcards, kiss me quick, hats and sticks of rock have come to me to represent holidays in Brighton. I was born in Croydon, which is as dissimilar from a beautiful seascape as anything could be. A Croydon map, mini Manhattan.
Tony challenged.
Yes, a repetition of Croydon.
Croydon.
Well, you know, I've started to talk about it and I can't stop. Yeah. And so many limited forums.
So good they named it twice. Yeah.
So, Tony, a correct challenge and a point to you. You have seaside postcards. 14 seconds still available, starting now.
I wonder if the quality of seaside postcards is better in, say, Blackpool, Bournemouth, or perhaps Brighton is...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of perhaps.
No.
In the it's perhaps before in the previous...
And week. I very much doubt whether the postcards in Brighton and Bournemouth are very much in quality. I should imagine there's an overall company that's producing these things.
I don't know what you're talking about, Paul. But...
Dare you!
Well, I have to say, anything to get a laugh, but it, yeah. It got a reaction anyway. So, repetition. A point to you. 7 seconds. Seaside postcards, starting now.
Ladies' breasts made to look like mice are my least favourite form of seaside postcards. We've all seen...
Paul, challenge.
Oh, well, that's where we disagree.
So what, any challenge within the rules of Just a Minute? No. Well, we give... Because the audience enjoyed your interruption so much, we give you a bonus point for that. But Sue was interrupted, so she gets a point for that, and she keeps the subject, and you've only got 2 seconds available. Seaside postcards starting now.
Scantily clad women being groped and fondled by...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, with Sue Perkins, so she has naturally a lead at the end of the round. And Neil Malarkey, we'd like you to take the next round while you start it. The subject is the best sandwich. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
For me, the best sandwich is hard to find, since I cannot eat bread. I have wheat issues. I must seek out other grain.
Poor challenge.
Well, there was a slight hesitation.
There was.
Just like that, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Because I had a bit of wheat beforehand.
Yeah. You had some wheat, I think. Mm. Right, so there's... we call that hesitation. Paul, you have a point. You have the subject. 51 seconds. The best sandwich starting now.
I don't know whether it can be considered the best sandwich. It's a hotel in London that's certainly selling the world's most expensive sandwich. It consists of heavy...
Tony challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
It's the most expensive sandwich.
Yeah, but it still could be the best sandwich. It could be the most expensive.
I thought he made it clear that he didn't know whether it was the best sandwich.
I certainly didn't rule it out.
Exactly, Paul. You can debate the situation, but it's the best sandwich, and I think he has the benefit of the doubt. So you keep the subject, Paul. An incorrect challenge, a point, of course. 44 seconds still available. The best sandwich starting now.
The finest bread you can find, and just in the corner, nestling beside the butter, is a small cottage in Devon. That's what makes the sandwich so expensive. It's 667...
A Neil, challenge.
You said expensive twice.
I did, yes. Mm.
And so, Neil, you have a correct
challenge. But I want to know more about the cottage in Devon.
Well, perhaps you shouldn't have buzzed me then. It's like, you know, it's getting hold of a puppy, put it in a sack, throw it in the Thames. Oh, I wanted to take that for a walk. Bit late now for that sort of thing, isn't it? Bit late now.
I don't think I shoved you in a sack and threw you in the river, did I? Is that how you feel?
That's what it feels like emotionally.
Can I rescind everything I've
no,
ever
no,
done?
No. Because what we do is not just for hurt feelings, but because he creates so much entertainment for the audience, we do give Bone. We do give Paul a bonus point. Not
Let's
bone.
Let's give him a bone. What happened to my bone?
Well, it's right in the Thames.
I'm only doing this for the bones.
Well, I was going to say we give Bone a Paulus punch, but... but I'd rather say we give Paul a bonus point. But Neil gets a point for a correct challenge. Yeah. He takes over the subject with 34 seconds on the best sandwich starting now.
The best sandwich contains a small cottage in Devon. Lovely mayonnaise, how I delight in it. My goodness me, that Devonian...
Paul challenge.
Well, a hesitation again.
I know. He's...
Well, I ran out of breath. Yeah. I've had some wheat.
You're giving a sort of theatrical hammy performance. You're declaiming it all. It's tremendous
it.
Fun. The
I
audience
like
love
Devonian.
It. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. 23 seconds, the best sandwich starting now.
A friend of mine at school declared for his money the best sandwich was one that his mother used to make, which was basically two pieces of sliced, then a bit of margarine and some sugar. And that's all it was.
Sue, challenge.
A hesitation?
Yeah, I think there was hesitation, yes. He was searching for the sugar. And... 12 seconds, the best sandwich with you, Sue, starting now.
Surely tuna mayonnaise, ethically fished without the use of machine guns, thereby voiding dolphins.
Neil, challenge.
Are we talking about ethically fished mayonnaise here?
No, ethically fished tuna. Yeah.
Yes, well, it would seem to be tuna mayonnaise, ethically fished.
I think you're struggling a bit too hard, actually, Neil. But we enjoyed it.
Well, you don't know what's underneath the table, do you?
When was it you last did this show, Neil?
1903. Yeah. Nicholas was celebrating his centenary then, I think.
He's working so hard. Give him a bonus point. But you were interrupted, Sue, so you get a point for that. 5 seconds still, the best sandwich starting now.
I do love a railway sandwich, lovingly cosseted in the arms of a disgruntled worker in a small shop.
Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, again that extra point for doing so, and she's now taken the lead ahead of Paul Merton, and then it's Neil Malarkey and Tony Hawks in that order. Paul, take the next round, please. Yeah. It's the King of the Jungle. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It's a sentence that refers to status. The King of the Jungle is often thought of as being the lion, the most powerful creature on the African plain. Or is it perhaps the elephant? Tall, grey, austere, mouthful of ivory, looks like a piano. You can think to yourself that the giraffe is tall, dominates the land.
Sue Chan.
Repetition of tall.
Yes, he did say tall.
Did I say tall?
Yes.
Tall elephant.
Tall elephants and taller giraffes. 43 seconds, Sue, with you. The King of the Jungle starting now.
In this game, the King of the Jungle is doubtless Nicholas Parsons, the silver fox who sits between us and straddles this show like the colossus of entertainment that he so rightfully is.
Paul.
There's no need to take the piss about it. I mean, you know, we're all trying to make it work. We're trying to make it work, aren't we, Nicholas?
After 40 years, I'm still trying, yes. Paul, I normally give bonus points for people who get huge laughs like that, but I don't know whether I should. I'll show you how generous I am, because they did enjoy your interruption. Yeah, yeah. I didn't, but the audience did.
You could say they endorsed it.
Yeah. But anyway, no, you have a bonus point for that, because it was a good joke. But Sue, you have a point because you were interrupted. Keep the subject. The King of the Jungle. Let me tell you, 34 seconds starting now.
Just before the show, he beats his chest in a form of jungle ritual with which to get himself prepared for the rigours of the hours ahead. There he sits grasping Charlotte in his perfectly manicured claws while she struggles to get away, calculator in hand. Don't know why she's got a calculator. She's not...
It's all true.
Yeah, but she hasn't got a calculator, which is why Neil can't.
The calculator was repeated.
It was repeated, and, yes, and yes. It isn't a stopwatch in her hand. It was lovely stuff, Sue. Right, Neil, a correct punch. 6 seconds, the King of the Jungle starting now.
The King of the Jungle, of course, is the lion with its beautiful...
Paul Tarrant.
I've said all this.
I know you have.
I said exactly that. The King of the Jungle is, of course, I've said all that.
I know you have, but you see...
Deja vu.
You have been playing the game for, I think, is it 12 or 14 years, but you know, you can repeat what other people have said. It's not exactly a ploy that people use often, but you're nothing against it.
Well, I just thought it was outrageous to use his own, not using his own words, that's all.
Well, he didn't. He used your words.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
What happens? I go home tonight and I find he's there.
Yes.
Being me.
I'll be lying in your hotel room.
I withdraw my challenge.
Neil, an incorrect challenge. So you still have the subject, you have a point, of course. 12 seconds, the King of the Jungle, starting now.
Or should it be the tall elephant? Or the loquacious giraffe, shoved like a puppy?
Neil, Paul Charles.
Deviation, he didn't say tall giraffe.
But he didn't establish he was going to use your words word for word.
Well, he had up to that point.
I know, he had up to that. But it's just a minute, so he didn't want to repeat it.
Well,
so
it's deviation. He's not repeating me.
We give you a bonus point because we enjoy what you said, Paul.
Are you going to give him the benefit of the doubt?
No. And no benefits. It's definite. He was interrupted.
Oh, really?
So you got your bonus point, but Neil gets the point because he was interrupted. Yeah. Keeps the subject. Yeah. 6 seconds. The King of the Jungle, Neil, starting now.
The King...
Who, John, Paul?
Hesitation. I hate to do it.
You hate to do it, but you've done it. You've given him another point. I know... 5 seconds, the King of the Jungle, Neil, starting now.
The King of the Jungle is Nicholas Parsons with a calculator.
That's exactly what I say.
Please see that.
It's nothing sacred.
You
go on, say calculator. It. Yes, I said calculator.
Have we booked a personality or an automaton?
We've booked someone who's got a very subtle new way of playing the game, but I think if you do this all the time... You find a loophole, yes. You have another point. You have 3 seconds still. The King of the Jungle, starting now.
The King of the Jungle?
Paul Tarrant.
Well, he's got to do something wrong, isn't he? I mean,
this is like Groundhog Day. Tonight I will go to sleep and it'll be the King of the Jungle. The King of the Jungle.
And Neil, another point to you. And 1 second to go still. The King of the Jungle, starting now.
The jungle is a beautiful place.
Well... Neil Malarkey, as you realise, gained a large number of points in that round and has really leapt forward. Oh, no, Tony, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is Tickled Pink. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I'm tickled pink to have got this subject. A little disappointed it's not King of the Jungle, but there you go. I'm not normally this pink, but before we came out this evening, Nicholas tickled me this colour. Quite an exciting thing to watch if you had tickets, which none of you did. I am...
Paul Challenge.
I had tickets and it was rather boring. Wasted £40.
What were your tickets for?
For him, for you tickling him. Yeah.
No, there were no tickets issued for that.
I had...
He just said he had one.
I had a comp.
There weren't any big comps. It wasn't, actually. It was a fiction, anyway.
Well, really?
Yes.
I thought I'd missed out on something.
I hope it was. Because I don't remember any tickling going on.
That's not a guarantee of anything, is it?
Oh, that's why I love working with you. Because I throw them out and you come back with bigger and better ones all the time. Right? Give him a bonus point. He's lovely. Tony, you got a point because you were interrupted. Tickled Pink is still with you. 42 seconds, starting now.
I was tickled pink to be asked to do this show at the Theatre Royal because Brighton is my hometown. Born and raised here, went to Brighton, Hove and Sussex Grammar School, did...
Neil challenged.
Did he say Brighton twice?
He did say, yes. Mm.
Let's change the rules.
If you say Brighton, that's okay. How about that?
I said down here, I was tickled pink to do this show down here at the Theatre Royal.
At the Theatre Royal. You didn't say Brighton.
No. Well, you've changed your tune.
No, yes. You didn't.
Said Brighton twice.
Theatre Royal in Brighton.
You wait, you play it back when you get home.
You said the Theatre Royal in Brighton, didn't you?
I didn't say in Brighton, I said the Theatre Royal.
What did he say? Did he say Brighton twice? I think the benefit of the doubt goes to Neil Malarkey. Tickled Pink, well, 31 seconds, starting now.
Buying tickets for the Tony Tickles Nicholas Parsons show this morning. I was delighted how cheap they were. A mere £40. Comp, fi, you don't need a comp to watch.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of fi.
Yes. Tony, you've got it back and you've got more points and you've got another 22 seconds to tell us something about Tickled Pink starting now.
There are a few people I would like to be tickled pink by. I have a list up in my dressing room should anyone wish to come back after the show and read it. They could have a go at tickling me should they so wish. That...
Neil Challenge.
Should.
Should?
Yes,
yes, you did say should, yes. You repeated should. Yeah. So, you're listening very sharply now, Neil.
Yes,
and you've got 10 seconds to tell us something about... Tickled Pink starting now.
Tickled Pink is what a snooker player might say as he sees that ball on the table. It goes into the pocket. Ha ha!
Ball chance.
Repetition of ha. Yeah.
Yeah, this is what happens.
I put a hyphen between them.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I've broken that.
No. Paul, a correct challenge. You have Tickled Pink and you have 2 seconds. Oh, you've got in just before the whistle, starting now.
I like to make lobster laugh, and the best way of doing it is tickling.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle gained that extra point. He's now in second place, 1 point behind Neil Malarkey, and just ahead of Sue Perkins and Tony Hawks in that order. And, Neil, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is My Holiday Romance. 60 seconds, starting now.
It was Salt Dean, 1989. She was a sophisticate. I was a mere innocence. Ah, la, la, la.
Paul Charles.
Well, it's a deviation. It said mere innocence. You should have said mere innocence.
Innocent, that's innocent, right. Yes. Deviation from language or grammar spoken, or whatever you want to say, yes.
Sorry, she was a sophisticate from Salt Dean.
We met in Salt Dean.
That means she had her own teeth.
Yeah.
So, Paul, you have the subject, another point of 53 seconds. My holiday romance starting now.
My first holiday romance, I remember it so well, Butlin's holiday camp somewhere near Bognor Regis. There was this young girl riding a donkey. There hasn't been a day gone by I haven't thought of that donkey. I wish some... It's true.
Yeah. Unfortunately, to get the laugh, you had to repeat the word donkey, didn't
well,
you?
Well, it's not the only
it was worth it for the laugh.
Donkey.
It was worth it for the laugh.
Once you've had donkey, then, you can't Tony... help.
You challenge first. What
yes, I think there was the slightest repetition of donkey.
A donkey, yes. So you have 43 seconds. My holiday romance starting now.
Many years ago, I went to a South Sea island a long way away, met a beautiful, exotic, native girl, and we struck up a beautiful romance.
Sue challenged.
Was that repetition of girl? Met a girl and then a lovely native girl.
Native girl, yes, and girl. Yes, right. Well, listen, Sue. Yeah. You have 35 seconds. My holiday romance starting now.
I used to come to Brighton because I lived in Croydon. I don't know if any of you have ever heard this story, but my family used to take us down. It took 40 minutes and my dad would wake us at 5 in the morning, at which point we would arrive on the sunny shores of Brighton at Court. Oh, Brighton!
Yes. Well, of course, some people here would say you can't mention it too often. But, Tony, you challenge first. 20 seconds of my holiday romance starting now.
And I shall continue this exciting story set...
To Paul challenge.
You may continue it, but it's certainly not exciting. Deviation, I mean, it's just boring, isn't it? Nothing's remotely exciting about that.
Well, he was interrupting, I'm afraid.
Oh, was he?
I don't think your interruption was enough to justify
another
bonus
right,
point.
No, you're right, I wasn't really looking for a point. I was just expressing a deeply held opinion.
All right, give him a bonus. 17 seconds, Tony. My holiday romance starting now.
Finally, she took me in her arms and said the only 4 words she knew in English. Please leave me alone. My heart was cut in two.
Paul Challenge.
Well, he said this was going to be exciting. And it hasn't been exciting, so it's deviation. Please leave me alone. It's not something Alfred Hitchcock's going to go, oh, I'm going to sign that up.
I think the audience are on the edge of their seats, Alfred.
Yes, they're getting their coats.
English lessons
did she have? Listen, I if it'll be a fair on this one, but I do think that Tony was obviously excited up to that point.
Yeah.
I know, I'm leave him alone.
And you've actually made the audience laugh twice with your interruptions. Yeah. So we give you, which I think the fair thing to do, a bonus point for your interruptions, but the benefit of the doubt to Tony, and you've got still 5 seconds to tell us more about, but too blind to make it exciting if you can.
There's a challenge. 5 seconds. Yeah. See if we can make it exciting in right. 5 seconds.
My holiday romance starting now.
Then we saw this donkey on the beach. Boy, did things start to happen then. She jumped on the bank.
So, Tony Hawk, speaking of the whistle, when gained that extra point, he's leapt forward because he was trailing a little before. He's just ahead of Sue Perkins. He's one ahead of Neil Malarkey. And he's two behind Paul Merton as we press on with Sue to begin and the subject, one of my favourite things, apple pie. Tell us something about apple pie in this game starting now.
It's made with sweet shortcrust pastry, which should be baked blind, by which I mean put a tea cloth over your eyes and shove it in the oven. Beware the flame, however, because when your ocular bits have been covered, you'll find it somewhat distressing as the visuals will be blurred or forever masked. Eventually, after some time has passed, remove said platter from the heating device and you will see there a perfect crust that has formed. Add to this some semi-sweated Bramley apples. English are the finest, but you won't find them in a supermarket. Perhaps wander around Devon and you might come across a couple there, all basted their own natural juices. This is time to add custard, the best and most perfect ingredient of all. Some people shove in raisins. I say tosh. Never put an apple with a raisin. It is disgusting. It is against nature, God, and Gordon Ramsay. This quintessential dish must be allowed to breathe freely. Just the presence of the fine English orchards, the water, the baked blind stuff, all there, ready and waiting to be served to a happy family.
Well, a tremendous round of applause because Sue started with the subject and finished with it in spite of a little bit of indulgence from the panel, but they let it go because you were going in such full flood and so magnificently. I also let it go and you went for 68 seconds. And it was only because you were going rather purple in the face that I stopped it then.
Yes, it's all those raisins.
Yes, but see, you're still in fourth place, I'm afraid.
Oh, good.
But you know, you're right up there with the others. But
in fourth.
You get... No,
why, they in fourth as well?
No. You're only 1 point behind Neil and 2 points behind Tony and 3 points behind Paul, so that's the situation. But you get a point for speaking as a whistle when, and you get a bonus point because you're not interrupted. That's why you've leapt forward.
To fourth. From fourth. But it was a massive leap forth that I made in order to come last.
But it was the contribution that you brought to the show for which we love you.
I missed that. Could you do it again, sir?
Oh, it's the final round with Paul Merton. The subject is the future of radio. Paul, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
For my money, the future of radio could be listening to Sue Perkins describing the most perfect apple pie. And if you listen to digital radio, there's a chance that you will hear that again at some point in the future. I think that it is beautiful to be able to hear these old shows from long ago. Nicholas once appeared in a show called Much Binding in the Marsh, made in the 1940s, and it is with great joy that some of those recordings are still played across the airwaves, and we can sit back and laugh at all those marvellous references to Lord Hoare, the man who was the traitor. I would think that perhaps my favourite radio show would be...
Yes?
Repetition of show.
Yes, because it's the future of radio as a subject, and you repeated show. Mm. So, Tony, you've got in, and you've got a point for a correct challenge. 23 seconds. Tell us something about the future of radio starting now.
About 40 years, this bloke came up with an idea for a show called Just a Minute. They all said it would be the future of...
Tony Hawk's challenged.
Did I?
No.
Now that's the future of radio.
Tony, I have four lights in front of me, and whoever presses their buzzer first, that light comes on, and it was your light. So you obviously challenged yourself. So I have to ask you...
I was trying to get a bonus.
What was your challenge?
Well, I hesitated, clearly.
And that's perfectly true, Tony. You did hesitate, and so well listened. So you have a correct challenge, Tony. You get a point for a correct challenge, obviously.
I think I'm stepping in on you here.
And you have 17 seconds for the future of radio, starting now.
Where will the internet take us, I wonder? Will we be in the South Sea Islands with our particular girlfriends listening to Just a Minute, or will we not?
Sue challenged.
A repetition of Just a Minute.
Yes, and will we as well. Right, yeah. So 10 seconds for you, Sue, on the future of radio, starting now.
The future of radio is Charlotte. As yet, she is bound and mute and one cannot hear. But trust me, I have heard her backstage in the green room, and she is a woman of such decisive talent and energy that one day she will be let loose on the airwaves.
So Sue Perkins was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and they've all given such incredible value. This is the fairest result I've seen for a very long time, because we have...
I'm fourth, aren't I?
No. We have in second place equal Sue Perkins and Neil Malarkey, who did so incredibly well, but only one point ahead, equal in first place, Tony Hawks and Paul Merton. Could it be fairer? Well, yes. That round of applause, I'm sure, was for all four of them, and I only have to thank them for being so magnificent in this game. Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Sue Perkins and Neil Malarkey. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's been so sweet, taking so much flack, and blowing her whistle with such delightful charm. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're grateful to this lovely audience at the Theatre Royal in Brighton, who cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, thank you, but tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute. Yep!
And sadly, that was the last in the current series of Just a Minute, but Nicholas and the teams will be back in the summer.